FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh, and here's Raul! Oh,
he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of The Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte here with you in the host chair today for another very big and entertaining program. Some action midweek that we'll need to get through, some cup action, some league action. We'll bring you the results from the English Premier League as well. Not normally English focus here on the Euro Show, but some very big results coming out of England this morning. Burnley, what a story that is. We'll bring you all the details about their 1-0 win very shortly. Chelsea in action as well. Obviously, there was the big UEFA Champions League draw, which we previewed Monday in our Euro Show. The results are set. The round of 16 field is complete. Some fascinating ties. We will preview each individual fixture in our second segment today. So stick around because there are some huge matches. Obviously, everyone knows Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, a tie certainly worthy of a final. They will meet in the round of 16. So some very interesting ties to get through. There are a whole round of fixtures. Tomorrow we'll preview those. Transfer news as always. We'd love to hear from you. Get involved in the conversation at any stage. 99 44 99 99 is the number to call if you'd like to get involved. Or you can text us. We're on 0428 933 45, or you can tweet us at FNR underscore radio. Back in the studio with me to go through everything European football related. Welcome back, Rick D'Andrea.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Good afternoon indeed. Now, Rick, I need to remind you, because the Ital Panettone is sitting right in front of you once again. It's becoming a common theme for you here in the FNR studio. I like to see it, but thanks to our friends at Ital, we are giving away a panettone on every program that we broadcast live here across the FNR network. And today's Euro Show is another one of those. So text us, call us, tweet us at any stage. And after the show, we'll get in touch with the individual or individuals we feel are worthy of the Ital Panettone. You had some earlier, Rick. It's a tasty thing, isn't it?
I absolutely love this time of year, and I do love a good Ital Panettone when they do come by me. And I do have to say a very big thank you very much to our sponsors here. And they are very, very delicious this time of year.
They are. You want to get your hands on one or two of those. 99 44 99 99 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. This is your network, so get involved and have your say, or ask us a question if you'd like to analyze anything we're discussing or anything that's still to come. Well, let's start, Rick, with the results this morning. Some big results in England, as I said. We don't normally talk Premier League on the Euro Show. We do have our EPL show here across the FNR network on Monday evenings, but that was Monday. Today's Wednesday, and there were three games in the English Premier League this morning. I'll give you the results, and then we'll go through each one, because with each result, there is a fascinating outcome as a result. So Burnley, I mentioned. What a story this is. Burnley 1, Stoke 0. We'll tell you why that's a story very shortly. Crystal Palace, remember, they were bottom without a point, the worst start in English history. 2-1 win over Watford, coming from behind and winning 2-1. A remarkable result for them. And Chelsea, they had a disastrous 1-0 defeat to West Ham at the weekend. A 3-1 win away to Huddersfield. So very important for Conte and Chelsea to get back on the winners list there. But let's start with the Burnley match. Now, I tweeted out a few bizarre things that took place in football in the last 12 hours. And this was, well, technically it was the bottom of that list, but certainly in terms of significance, the top of the list. Because if you haven't had a look at the English Premier League table, Rick, Burnley are incredibly in fourth place and looking very good. They are right in the mix for the Champions League positions. And we are 17 rounds into the competition. It means that Burnley have played all but two teams in the English Premier League, and they are fourth. One of the most remarkable runs. They have the third best defensive record. Just the Manchester clubs have conceded only 11 times. They have conceded 12. So it is a phenomenal performance for Burnley, who had all sorts of problems in the top flight, particularly last season. They are flying.
And let me just mention the teams just below them. Liverpool on 30 points, Arsenal 29, Tottenham 28. That is a very, very impressive crop of teams just below them.
Absolutely. Now, they, of course, all have a game in hand, but which we'll preview a little later. But look, irrespective of whether those trio of teams win, they are still right in the mix for a Champions League position. You wouldn't expect that they will continue to maintain the pace with these clubs. But, as I said, two more rounds and they've played every team in the competition. At the halfway mark, they're certainly there.
They're almost doing a Leicester from a couple of years ago where we sort of all followed that fairy tale run that they were on. However, the only thing that's sort of going against Burnley at the moment is their lack of goals that they are scoring. I mean, they are getting 1-0 and 2-0 wins over the last, say, month to 6 weeks. So you would think that Burnley may get caught up with their goal percent, their goal difference towards the latter end of the season, especially if they do want to remain in contention for the one of the European spots. That's their only fault. That's the only fault that I can sort of see at the moment. But well done to them at the moment. So keep on going, Burnley. I think we're all going to get behind you a little bit, and hopefully you can do very well by, say, the end of April and be in contention.
Well, I've just had a look at the fixtures because I should have done this before the program, but I've just pulled up the fixtures. Next is Brighton away and then Tottenham at home. Okay, so Brighton, beatable. Tottenham is the other big club that they are yet to face. But their home record is phenomenal. They've only conceded three times in nine home fixtures. They could match it with Tottenham. It's a Christmas Eve fixture here in Australia, so the 23rd of December over there in the UK. Burnley are well and truly deserving of their position at this point in time. And look, even 14 points in eight on the road, they will be confident going to Brighton, who have been impressive themselves and newcomers this season. It's a phenomenal story and certainly one to keep an eye on. Manchester United will be the first team that they play for the second time this season. So get through those Tottenham, Brighton, Manchester United fixtures with, say, 4 or 5 points, maybe avoiding defeat. They're certainly in the mix. It's a phenomenal story. We'll keep a very close eye on it and we'll be following Burnley here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Now, the other game this morning that I mentioned, one of the smaller teams who had another big win, Crystal Palace. Now, cast your mind back to the start of the season. I can't remember exactly how many fixtures it took them to obtain a point.
I think it was six or seven. It was quite a big long stretch.
They had that win against Chelsea, which was incredible, in their first points and win of the season. Went on another poor run, picked up another couple of points along the way. All of a sudden, unbeaten in six, and for the team who had the worst start to an English season in history, they are incredibly, as a result of two goals in the last 3 minutes this morning, after conceding after just 3 minutes as well, they are incredibly out of the relegation zone.
I was just about to say that. That is an incredible thing for any team to do, considering they've gotten the best part of what, 14 points in order to get out of that little relegation zone. That's what they would have gotten up until this stage. Who knows what they're going to do? I mean, I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to avoid relegation. I still think they are going to go down, unfortunately. But they're going to make it a very, very interesting next 5 months to see if they can survive and get to that 40-point stage that everyone sort of believes you need to sort of stay up in any of the big competitions.
Well, to think of how far back they started, 14 points from 17 fixtures. Okay, the record, not great. But again, they started from so far back. It's a great effort by Crystal Palace. And look, the team.
And a new coach as well, you have to throw into the mix as well.
Of course. It's really hard to keep track of who's coaching who in the Premier League because it's a merry-go-round of coaches at the moment. There have been four or five changes already. But look at the three teams below them at the moment. Swansea, West Ham and West Brom. Even throw in Newcastle and Stoke above them into that bracket. They're all struggling. They've all got serious problems. Everton, who have had a number of problems this season, have incredibly jumped to 10th with three decent results, or 7 points from the last nine. So you know that if you get on a run in the English competition, it is so competitive at the bottom. And the relegation scrap at the end of the season is always brilliant to watch in the Premier League. I think last year was the first season in many years that there was really nothing to play for on the final days for those in the drop zone. But this season, with just 7 points separating Everton in 10th, Swansea at the bottom of the table, it promises to be enthralling and as entertaining as anything, particularly given the fact that Manchester City have got the title won already.
Well, just as you were saying that, I thought I'd have a look at something. So the points difference between Man City and Man United is 11 at the moment. From Everton all the way down, it is 9 points. Far, far more entertaining. Probably what we will watch a lot more closely coming up in the next few months, and it probably will be something that we will probably commit to a lot, lot better.
Absolutely. And good on Manchester City, because it's they well and truly deserve to be where they're at. They are a phenomenal club, and I look forward to seeing them go deep into the Champions League and obviously well and truly on track to winning another Premier League title. One of the title contenders at the start of the season, Chelsea, they were in action this morning, again needing to bounce back from a very poor performance against West Ham at the weekend, and they did exactly that. 3-1 win, rather, over Huddersfield, who, after a promising start, Huddersfield, they've just struggled briefly now. Only one win in their last 5 Premier League games, actually 6 Premier League games, and have been conceding goals, a lot of goals. So it's been a difficult time for Huddersfield, but Chelsea, a much-needed win. For me, I think they're a lock for that 2-3 position with Manchester United. But
not going to go anywhere.
They can't. They really can't. I feel that United and Chelsea are a class above 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th, being Burnley, Arsenal, Liverpool and Tottenham. And I just feel it's a race in two for them. And really, really, given the fact that the Champions League will guarantee 4 English clubs in it next season, no qualification, as we've explained previously, really second or third makes no difference. And
correct,
City should finish top, as we said.
Just quickly, with Huddersfield, it has been a very big roller coaster ride and a very long learning experience for them, considering that at one stage they were top 4 or top 6 at the early part of the season. Now all of a sudden the results are starting to come that people anticipated they would get, and this has been the consequence of it. So it is a learning curve. Let's see if they can bounce back over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly hope they do. Of course, Aaron Moy's Huddersfield, but we'll keep an eye on them. Now over to the Bundesliga. 4 fixtures of German action this morning. The results: Wolfsburg 1, Leipzig 1. Wolfsburg with yet another draw. They just keep drawing under this new manager. I think it's 2 wins and the rest draws in their time. So it's been an interesting start for the new Wolfsburg boss. Freiburg had a surprise 1-0 win over Mönchengladbach. Hamburg 1, Eintracht Frankfurt 2. The big result, though, Borussia Dortmund, just days after sacking their manager Peter Stöger has come in, the former Cologne boss, who, of course, was sacked after Cologne went winless in their opening 14 fixtures of the season. And Borussia Dortmund, for the first time in what feels like forever, have won. They have won a match in the German Bundesliga. I'll tell you now, Rick, they had not won coming into this game in the Bundesliga since the 30th of September, local time, so 29th of September in Germany. In that time, they had only won one match elsewhere, and that was against a third division side in the German Cup. How many times has this happened? A new manager comes in and the team responds and wins.
It almost becomes second nature. We keep on saying it here at Football Nation Radio, but even generally when we do watch a lot of soccer and we do see that new teams have got a new coach in, you can almost bank on the 3 points going to that team that has hired the new manager. It's astounding. And I don't know why. I don't know how it is. I don't know whether it's just a change of culture, a change of lifestyle. Who knows? You know, a change of atmosphere in the changing rooms. But whatever it is, it seems to almost work on a consistent basis, and let's just go with that. I mean, all Dortmund seem to have done is go from a 3-6-1 formation that they were playing underneath Bosch to a 4-3-3 that they're playing under Stöger, and somehow that's delivered a 2-0 win. I mean, it couldn't be that simple, could it?
Well, they got the result. 2-0 away to Mainz. Mainz have had the problems of their own, 1 win in 10. Dortmund's first win in 10, so...
And on top of that, they're in the top 4.
Incredible. Incredible. They are in the top 4... again, after what has been a bizarre campaign in Germany. It just seems to be the case. Eintracht Frankfurt had a win. They've jumped to 5th. Dortmund have a rare win. They've jumped to 4th. Leipzig have dropped points. Schalke, you know, 3 wins in a row. Mönchengladbach lose. It just seems that whoever gets close to Bayern Munich, they just drop points.
They just drop off.
Mönchengladbach have 1 point from their last 3 fixtures. So 1 out of 9 points. Schalke, 3 points from their last 9. Leipzig in second, 2 points from their last 9. And Bayern Munich in action tomorrow against Cologne, a match we'll preview a little later. They're going to win and extend their advantage.
And who knows how big that game will get. But at the same time, Dortmund, plus 14 goal difference. the others around them, the best is Schalke at plus six. That's why they have all of a sudden jumped from about seventh to fourth. Just that plus 14 goal difference. You know, 37 goals is nothing to sneeze at, especially in a top European competition. When you consider that the other teams, Eintracht, 18, Mönchengladbach, 24, Schalke, 23, and then you see Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and co, basically 37. That's why.
It's a wonderful competition, the Bundesliga. Get into it if you haven't checked it out, because there is serious competition there. Unfortunately, Bayern will run away with the title, but those other teams dropping points around them, the relegation battle, obviously the battle for the Champions League as well, certainly one to keep an eye on. Now, there was a huge game in the Coppa Italia this morning. There was also a game in Serie A, but in Italy, the action was the Coppa Italia, because Inter Milan took on Pordenone, a Serie C side, third division side in Italy, at the San Siro Stadium, in a match which you'd expect Inter would win very comfortably. Obviously, they decided to field a number of non-regular starters, but after 120 minutes of action, the two teams could not be separated. 0-0 it finished. Inter, as you'd imagine, 33 shots to 8. 66% possession. They had all the stats and figures in their favour, but they could not break down the resolute Pordenone side. Again, as I said, a third division side who came off the back of a 1-1 draw in their competition at the weekend. So hardly flying, but they are up there in the standings, but their recent form has been poor. 0-0 after 120 minutes. It took seven rounds of penalties for Inter, Nagatomo, to knock in the winner, and they prevailed 5-4 in a shootout. The Coppa Italia is not one of the more favoured cup competitions in European football, but this is great for the competition.
Absolutely. You want to see your lower division teams up against the big boys of town and obviously competing with them for the best for 120 minutes and then going to penalties. I mean, what more do you want? You want these fairy tale stories to come through. They're what grints people to actually watch and stay attentive to them. So bad luck to Pordenone, but Inter, they need to be a little bit more convincing in this competition, because they have only got the 38 games in the Serie A, and however far they can get in the Coppa Italia this season, there's no European competition. They need to be a little bit more clinical in my eyes, but we'll have to wait and see what they do throughout the January, February, March season leading up into the Coppa Italia final in May.
The Pordenone coach Leonardo Colucci after the game said that taking Inter to penalties is like winning the Coppa Italia for us. So
agreed.
Deservedly, they should be very absolutely proud of themselves, and he went on to say that Spalletti, of course, the Inter manager, told me that we deserved to go through. So after knocking out Cagliari in the previous round and with a very poor record away from home, even in Italy's third division, a remarkable performance by that young side there. There was one game in the Serie A, Genoa and Atalanta. Atalanta winning. 2-1.
Nothing surprising there. They are such a good team at the moment, and they are, into the top six at this stage. So
they're knocking on the door. They're into eighth with that, but it's very tight there in the mid-table in Italy. But Atalanta, they've had a few issues this season, obviously, with the Europa League and having a few more matches than they're accustomed to playing. But great to see them right back up there, and particularly with the top six sides all dropping points in Italy at the weekend, a great opportunity for them to maintain the pace as they would hope to return to the Europa League next season. Of course, they've been drawn with Borussia Dortmund in the Europa League draw, which will bring you that.
What a game that will be.
Very shortly. Enormous game. I look forward to previewing that, of course. And just finishing up before we get to a break with the results overnight, the French Cup, the Coupe de la Ligue, Toulouse 2, Bordeaux 0, Angers 1, Metz 0, and Monaco, the only big team in action, had a 2-0 win over Cannes. Falcao, he scored a wonder goal from all of 45, 50 yards. Check that one out if you haven't seen it. PSG in action tomorrow morning. Again, we'll preview all the fixtures to come tomorrow morning a little later in the program. And be sure to get involved in the conversation. We have a very, very precious and impressive Ital Panettone on the table ready to give away to our best caller, text or tweet. We have had a few texts come through. Keep them coming through. Few tweets as well. We'll get to those after the break. But we do need to get to a break now. On the other side, it's Champions League and Europa League draw focus. You're with Adriano Del Monte and Rick Dandre here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Euro Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea here with you, about to shift our focus towards the Champions League and Europa League draws, which took place Monday evening here in Australia local time. Before we do though, Rick, just one of the texts that came through. I mentioned a heap of them coming through. Many hopeful of winning the Ital Panettone, of course, courtesy of our friends at Ital. Give us a call at any stage. Get involved in the conversation. 9944 9999 0428 933 45 if you'd rather text us. From Steve, hi boys, off the top of your heads, were there any lads from the Oz national squad that played in Europe over the past few days? If so, how were their performances? The main ones that come to mind were Moy and Matt Ryan, who met each other in the English Premier League, Rick. That game between Huddersfield and Brighton, unfortunately for Ryan, Huddersfield won, which means he didn't keep a clean sheet. Moy, no assists, no goals, but was solid from all reports. I didn't catch the game, but was solid from what I read.
I think he had about 87% passing accuracy. So one of his better games, obviously, with the ball, without obviously, you know, providing an assist or scoring a goal.
Wonderful stuff. Of course, the boys have been wonderful for their sides. And both those teams, Brighton and Huddersfield, in the English top flight, have had great runs this season. So it's good to see them. Obviously, Moy, we can't forget when Huddersfield took care of United. That was phenomenal. So the opportunity to mix it with some of the very best should hold them and their Aussie teammates in good stead in the lead-up to the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Let's move across to the Champions League now, because the draw was on everyone's minds in the lead-up. There's no Champions League action until February 14 here in Australia, which is extremely frustrating. But nevertheless, the draw did take place, and there are eight fixtures to bring to your attention right now. And Rick, let's start with the big one, because this is a match that for me is undoubtedly the biggest fixture, the biggest tie at this stage of the UEFA Champions League in history. Real Madrid taking on Paris Saint-Germain.
In history? That's a very big call, because, I mean, other than, you know, Real Madrid being the 11-time, 12-time champions, PSG don't have that history. They've only been building it up over the last 5 to 6 years. So I wouldn't say in history. However, the players on the park, where are you going to find a better 22?
History, Rick. Absolute history. For me, Paris Saint-Germain are the favourites for the competition with the bookies. And, okay, deservedly so. They've scored a truckload of goals in the group stage. They obviously have to be a favourite. They've spent so much money on enhancing their squad. They are playing wonderful football domestically. This surely has to be their opportunity to go one better than they have in previous seasons. They've never had luck with the draw. It's happened again. But for me, this is certainly a round of 16 clash worthy of a final.
Absolutely. That I agree with. But in history, I don't think it's the biggest round of 16 match, but I will say it is worthy of any quarterfinal, semifinal, or even final. That team and those 22 are going to be out there giving it their all for 180 minutes to see who can even just go through to a quarterfinal. Just, we need to really get this a grip through our minds. That is a huge thing. I mean, Neymar will return to Spain at some stage over the next, you know, and during those period, those 4 weeks that the two ties are going to be held over. We can't forget how important he was to Barcelona and how loathed he was at Real Madrid. I mean, he's going to have a lot of pressure to carry that team through to the quarterfinal.
Absolutely. The Neymar talking point will be a huge one. Obviously, his first return to Spain since leaving Barcelona. But two of the very biggest sides in world football. Real Madrid won the Champions League twice on the spin, gunning for a third. I don't think they'll do that, but regardless, both very, very unlucky to be drawn alongside one another, particularly when PSG did so well to finish on top of Bayern Munich.
Absolutely.
And in doing so, they were drawn with Real Madrid, which obviously was a possibility. It did happen, unfortunately, for them. But Bayern Munich, who finished second in their group, were drawn against Besiktas. With all due respect, Besiktas, probably the weakest of those that topped their group this season.
Agreed. And it just seems to me this match will now be a Robert Lewandowski versus Pepe battle. I mean, they're the two that sort of stand out in my mind. Who will actually win between that contest between those two sides? And you would think if Lewandowski can score, say, two goals over the two legs, you would think that Bayern Munich would probably get through. Besiktas probably don't have the firepower to sort of cope with the Daniel Alabas and the players that Bayern do have in defence. I can't really see Besiktas even scoring in this tie, and, you know,
well,
I don't think so.
Bayern did beat Besiktas 2-0 both away and home in their only other meeting previously, but that was a long time ago, 97-98 group stage. So you'd favour Bayern Munich, and it's a very, very favourable draw for the German Giants, who will certainly be in the mix because this is a competition that they do want to win. They probably haven't won it enough that they should have won it, given the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid's dominance this decade particularly. But Bayern Munich with an opportunity to get themselves into the final eight. One of the other big fixtures without question, Chelsea and Barcelona. This is big. Lionel Messi has never, ever scored against Chelsea in eight previous matches. The most he's faced against any other club without scoring. So Messi with an opportunity to set that record straight, but Conte and Chelsea with a very intriguing draw here, knowing that if they can get past Barcelona, particularly with the Premier League out of sight at the moment, and as I said earlier, I really feel Chelsea will finish second or third anyway there, this is an opportunity for them to really take care of a big rival at this competition. And who knows, Chelsea take care of Barcelona, they'll certainly be one of the favourites.
And Conte does know how to beat Barcelona. He did it with Juventus. You'd expect a very similar type of game plan to be going into these two matches. I'm not going to rule out Chelsea actually beating Barcelona. I know it's a very, very big call, and I know where you stand with Barcelona, Adrian, and winning this season. Chelsea do have a very good chance of doing it. I mean, when was the last time that you sort of remember Barcelona beating Chelsea on any given day? I mean, you have to go back to 2006. So you're talking about six or seven matches since that last happened. Favours, the record obviously won't, you know, stand in good stead over the 180 minutes, but on the pitch, anything can happen. And there's a sneaking suspicion that Chelsea could actually get past Barcelona.
Absolutely. Can't rule them out, but I will. I think Barcelona will win and win comfortably. But just as Neymar going back to Spain to play Real Madrid, Alvaro Morata, of course, the former Real Madrid striker, will go back to Spain to take on Barcelona. So,
and you've also got Pedro to add that he will actually be playing against his former side.
He will. Well said. Well researched as well.
Thank you.
Looking forward to that one. Now, Juventus-Tottenham, another one that caught my eye. How do you look at this one? Tottenham, obviously, phenomenal in the Champions League this season, topping a group with Real Madrid and making Borussia Dortmund look like a very subpar side, which obviously they have their own issues at the present time. But Tottenham topped that group, so they cannot be taken lightly. I feel for Juventus, though. Two finals in the last three seasons. This is exactly the test that they wanted. Tottenham in form, playing well in this competition. But Juventus, if they are serious about winning this competition, which we all know they are, Gianluigi Buffon's final season, they know what they want. They know that they need to beat these sides to get there. Tottenham, look, with all due respect to Tottenham, City and PSG were the sides that Juve certainly wanted to avoid in the round of 16. They did that. This is certainly a worthy and credible opponent for Juventus coming in.
Juve won't have any fear going to Wembley to take on good old Tottenham here. They've known how to play them. They only played them at the start of the season, just before the actual two leagues kicked off. And yes, there was a 2-0 loss there to Juve, but there will be absolutely no fear. And I can see Paulo Dybala actually doing something in this game. He's sort of been a bit quiet ever since his explosive start for Juve earlier in the season. Christian Eriksen will probably be the one that I'd be looking out for. We all know Harry Kane and what talent he has, but I can see a good old lock being applied by Giorgio Chiellini here. So I don't think Harry Kane will even score over the two legs, to be perfectly honest. It'll just come down to what Dybala can actually do.
If Juventus are half serious, they have no excuses here.
No.
They absolutely must defeat Tottenham and do so. Look, I don't think it'll be convincing, but if they are half serious about re-emerging as one of Europe's big, big clubs, not just a club who's... Look, Atletico are a big club, but they also made a couple of Champions League finals. But we're talking big. We are talking Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona big. If they are half serious about doing that, this is an absolute must win. And I'd like to see a win without conceding, because Tottenham are a great club, but Tottenham are not at the level that Juventus are aspiring to be at.
That I agree with, and they have to. A nice 2-0, 3-0 aggregate win would be probably what I'd like to see as a Juventus fan. Whether that will happen, I'm not 100% certain at this stage. We'll have to wait and see until injuries come into the factor and come in, you know, tiredness and fatigue and everything else sort of come into play. But at this stage, looking, you know, 2 months ahead, 2-0, 3-0 over the two legs, I'd be more than happy with that considering what's ahead.
Absolutely. Now, a few other English clubs, of course, five, a record amount of clubs from the same country remaining in this competition, a great season for the Premier League sides. And Manchester City, the side who probably didn't need an easy draw, well, they got it. They're taking on Basel. Now, Basel did very well to get to a tricky group alongside Manchester United and Benfica, who are very disappointing. But Basel are there. The two sides have never previously met. Basel did, of course, defeat Manchester United in Basel 1-0. So, look, this will be an interesting one. You'd expect Manchester City will really easily account for their opposition here, but you can never rule them out. You can't rule them out. Basel have had some experience at this stage of the competition. Manchester City, though, again, if we're talking about teams wanting to be serious to win this competition, this is the one which I feel will be the most one-sided.
Basel during February in Switzerland is a very, very cold night. We keep on joking about the cold night on a Tuesday in Stoke. This is exactly what Man City will have to do when they actually go and play Basel in the middle of February on a very cold and a very, very cold Tuesday evening. That's what I expect.
We are looking forward to that. And just quickly getting through the remaining three fixtures, Porto and Liverpool, an interesting one. Liverpool, of course, coming through a relatively weak group alongside Spartak, Sevilla and Maribor. They take on Porto, a side who have had a few issues in this competition in recent seasons, have come through the playoffs a couple of times. But an opportunity here for Porto, I feel, really, there is an opportunity for them to get to the final eight. Liverpool, far from convincing at this competition so far.
Porto at the Dragão are very, very tough to beat. If the crowd are on their side, it's a 12th person for them. They are not going to be easy pushovers. Considering that Liverpool do have the wood on Porto at this stage with two wins and two draws, anything is possible. Shut down Mo Salah, and I think, you know, Liverpool might even lose this one if that is the case.
A couple of texts coming in suggesting that we just scored 7 in the Champions League. I'm aware of that. They're Liverpool fans, I'm sure. Well aware of that. But
who did you play
at this stage against this opponent? It's a different ball game. And look, Liverpool, both Porto and Liverpool will be thrilled with that draw. Make no mistake about that, because it could have been a lot worse. And had Liverpool drawn a Juventus, a Real Madrid, a Bayern Munich, it would have been good night. Porto gives them an opportunity to progress. Similar for Porto, though. The draw could have been a whole lot worse. So I think two sides will come in very confidently, and so they should. They should both be confident because it could have been a lot worse. It's not. So good luck to them. Sevilla, Manchester United, battle of the Europa League champions. This is an interesting one. United, for me, should win. They will be certainly gunning for this. Again, City having had another couple of months to really wrap up the title. Mourinho, the experienced campaigner, with the likes of Pogba back in full fitness by then for sure. Zlatan, obviously, now would have had a few months under his belt. This is a match Mourinho will be setting his side for some time, and I cannot see Man United not overcoming Sevilla.
Agreed. They look a class above already, and Sevilla, as well as they are doing in the La Liga, Man United, they already look like a team to beat.
They certainly do. And the final one, Shakhtar Donetsk and Roma. On paper, probably not the most fascinating of ties, but one of those two sides will be in the final eight. So
you could be a very happy Roma supporter, Adrian.
Well, looking forward to it. It'd be good to see a couple of Italian clubs in the final eight for once, because it's been some time since a couple of clubs from the Serie A have gone deep into the competition. So a good opportunity, again, similar to the Porto-Liverpool tie. Both sides will be thrilled.
And Roma will fancy their chances of getting a good result when they go to, you know, to Ukraine.
Look, it's no mean feat overcoming Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, and Roma did that. It was phenomenal, the fact that they finished on top of that group, probably the surprise of the tournament. There were a number of surprises, but for the Giallorossi to overcome Chelsea and Atletico and top that very, very difficult group, well, good on them. Shakhtar Donetsk awaits, and who knows what happens from there.
I was at the game for Chelsea Roma in London at the time, and they did look another team. They looked absolutely on fire, Roma. I could not believe what I was seeing in front of my eyes when they were tearing Chelsea apart. So I reckon they actually might get through.
Can't rule them out. One of the most exciting teams in Italian football, of course, but obviously an emerging side on the European scene as well. We're off to a very quick break. Europa League draw analysis and previewing some of the big fixtures tomorrow morning still to come. You're with Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea on The Euro Show.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! To do it alone. Oh! And here's Raul! Oh! He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio. The hour is flying by. So much to discuss. Rick, we may need to extend this show to a couple of hours from now on because too much to discuss in a busy week of European action. The Europa League draw also took place in, obviously, following the Champions League draw that we just brought to your attention. Not going to go through all the games in the round of 32, but some that jump out. Now, Dortmund-Atalanta, enormous. Enormous
game.
Absolutely
enormous.
I get the feel that Borussia Dortmund obviously will be one of the favourites to win this competition, but Atalanta's certainly a difficult opponent here, but I feel that Dortmund in a couple of months from now will certainly be in a lot better position than they are now.
Agreed. You'd think that by the time the January transfer window's over, they're back into it. They've been accustomed to Stöger's tactics and how he likes to play and his playing style exactly. That he wants to implement. You would think that Dortmund might even cruise past Atalanta. And that's saying a lot because Atalanta's defence is actually known to be quite strong. And they are known for poaching a goal on the counter-attack, which is why I still think Dortmund, with the class, should be able to get past them. But I won't be surprised if they do score one or two, even if they do go back to to Germany, get one.
It's going to be very, very tricky for both sides. But I think we'll know a little more closer to the time. But Dortmund certainly favoured to go through. The other big one is Napoli and Leipzig. Of course, two of these sides who dropped down from the UEFA Champions League. So two of the sides in European football who play some of the very best football. It's going to be a fascinating tactical battle between two very, very good sides who are very unlucky not to still be in the Champions League.
And you've got to imagine, this is another Italy versus Germany type battle as well, going along the lines of Dortmund-Atalanta that you just mentioned. Both teams are second in their respective competitions, so they're not going to be taking this match lightly. And considering that both were a little disappointed to be dropping down into the Europa League, I'm still going to say Napoli, but if Leipzig's midfield can actually get something going and put a couple of passes just through the Napoli defence, I don't like the Napoli's chances sometimes.
I'll tell you something, Rick. If they want, Napoli will win this tournament and win it well. If Napoli want to win it, they will win this tournament without doubt. There are some very good sides. Obviously, Dortmund, Atletico are in there, some very big clubs as well. Arsenal are floating around as well. But if Napoli are half serious and half interested in a Europa League, they'll win it. And it will be their first UEFA Cup / Europa League crown since the days of Diego Armando Maradona.
Problem is, though, is Napoli's depth will be tested. And I said it on Monday night.
That's why I say if, Rick. If they're interested, they will play to win this competition. At this stage, we need to see what happens with the Serie A. But if they want to focus their depth and their players on this, they can win without question.
I'll reserve my judgment. I'll wait. Yes, they do look like one of the teams to beat. But knowing Italian teams in the Europa League, we know what their record's like.
Yeah, you certainly shouldn't be investing any heart, hope or money in that. No. We don't support that whatsoever. But Napoli certainly have the side good enough to win. A couple of the other big games, Lyon-Villarreal, very attractive on the eye, that one. Ludogorets-AC Milan, very soft draw for the Italian club there. Astana, the Kazakhstan side, the first Kazakhstan side to be in this stage of a European competition. They play home and away, but they were drawn with Sporting Lisbon, the longest trip in European football.
I was just about to say that. This will be a test because it's not going to be as cutthroat or as cut and dry as everyone anticipates. Yes, Lisbon are the favourites to go through, and yes, they should go through, but that long trip, I think it's 7 hours from memory.
Yes, I believe I used the Google Maps application earlier, and I believe it's 7,000 kilometres.
So quite a long trip.
That's a long, long trip for two clubs who will be hopeful of advancing to the round of 16. Marseille and Braga is another interesting one. Celtic and Zenit, fascinating. Atletico Madrid away to Copenhagen. And Östersund, a Swedish side, against Arsenal.
Have you heard of that side, Adrian, before?
I have. They play wonderful football in the Swedish top flight. Östersund, incredibly led by an English manager. So the only English manager remaining in European competitions, the manager of Östersund, taking on English giants Arsenal. So a very fascinating round of 32. The Europa League, it's a great tournament. Look, it's not obviously not as focused on as the Champions League for obvious reasons, but so many clubs, I think in the draw they mentioned that 30 countries have had clubs represented in this competition. That is remarkable.
Absolutely. If you want to talk about spreading the game all across Europe and getting everybody involved, this is exactly the model you want to take.
No doubt. Now, we're off to our final break for the day. We'll bring you some of the big fixtures to look ahead to tomorrow, plus some hot transfer news. There is always transfer news. We'll bring you a couple of the very big stories to break in the past 24 hours. Rick and I will be back on the other side of this break.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Euro Show for the final time this afternoon. A very entertaining hour it's been, Rick. Euro action as always. Huge round of fixtures tomorrow morning. We'll bring you a full review of all the results and highlights from the top leagues around Europe. Premier League just whizzing through the fixtures there. Newcastle, Everton, Southampton, Leicester, Swansea, Manchester City, Liverpool, West Brom, Man U, Bournemouth, Tottenham, Brighton, West Ham and Arsenal. Munich take on Cologne, top v bottom in the Bundesliga, as we mentioned. There's French Cup action. The pick of the fixtures, Strasbourg, PSG. Remember, Strasbourg defeated PSG in the Ligue 1. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
Opportunity for PSG to bounce back. There's Coppa Italia action as well. Fiorentina, Sampdoria, Milan, Verona. Hopefully for the sake of Gattuso and Milan, they can register another win. And the FIFA Club World Cup, Real Madrid in action against Al Jazeera. Of course, a local side there involved who just knocked out the Urawa Japanese side. So an interesting match there. You'd expect Real Madrid will win, but we'll bring you all the results and review from those fixtures tomorrow, as I said. We do have a heap of transfer news to get through, but we're going to shelve that for tomorrow because there are some huge stories which require some serious analysis. And with 60 seconds remaining on the clock, Rick, there just is not enough time.
Good call.
But we did come across at the top of the show the very big story coming out of Lazio. Very funny story. Now, Lazio, of course, lost to Torino in the league a few days ago. And the referee in charge, Giacomelli.
Piero Giacomelli, yes.
It has been a disastrous 24 hours for Giacomelli because I believe he's involved in the restaurant game.
He is. He owns a cafe in Rome at the same time as being a referee in the Serie A.
Cafe Rossetti, it's called. And the Lazio fans have mocked him after a disastrous performance against Torino by imploding his website and his TripAdvisor account with negative reviews for his cafe. That's the way that they've got back at him after a disastrous night for Lazio in which Ciro Immobile was sent off. They lost. It was a bad night for them, but they've got back at him by having a go online at his cafe.
And now if you know anything about obviously travelling overseas, TripAdvisor is very much relied upon by Western travellers to get a good cup of coffee or a good meal. This is probably one of the better acts of revenge that I've ever heard, to be honest. I didn't even know that you could do this sort of stuff.
Well, the Lazio fans leading from the front. Revolutionary, just like we are here at FNR Football Nation Radio. That's it from us for today. Another Euro show complete. We are back, Rick and I, from 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. If you missed the show, of course, you can podcast it as well. Thank you for joining us from home. Thanks for all the texts and tweets that came through. We'll see you tomorrow at the same time. But for now, this has been the Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football throughout Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.